Could our readers come out, please? So the short Bible reading that Ashley has asked us to bring is from Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 35. And we are straight into a moment when Jesus was surrounded by a big crowd and was just working his way around the country. And we pick up the story with Margaret.
As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.
Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more,
Son of David, have mercy on me.
Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him,
What do you want me to do for you?
Lord, I want to see.
He replied. Jesus said to him,
Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you.
Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God.
Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Ashley. Well, as Ashley's coming out, Lord, we do pray that you'll speak through Ashley, through this passage written down for us. As Luke and the other gospel writers wrote, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that we might have life in his name. So, Lord, pray that you'll bless us and Ashley as you speak through him to us. Amen.
One of the most repeated phrases at the front of the church is, Am I on? Am I on? I hope I'm on. Are you on? Are you on? Are you on? Well, mate, say again. I like a man who asks questions. What makes a strong church? Questions. That's what. No, I wasn't thinking of that, but it does. What? Someone's on the ball over in the corner. Let's all look at the lady in the corner. What makes a strong church? A church that prays together. Do you know what I was delighted with this morning when I came in? Having got here safely through the fog, and well, it wasn't so much foggy, but you couldn't see out the window because it was foggy, because of the rain on the M56 and all the other kind of roads. That we sat in the corner over there and we prayed together. Pray together, you stay together. We prayed together. A strong church is a praying church. Now, do you said about 1 to 3% of people actively share their faith? It's maybe not much more than that. The prayer meeting in a church seems to be the smallest meeting in the church's calendar. Isn't that sad? When a church that prays together is a strong church. If we don't pray, churches seem to have all the answers to this and that. We ask all the questions. But in the end, does the church really pray? Does every individual really pray? At home, on your own, and collectively together. If we ain't praying, you can forget any mission outreach. You can forget any messy church being really, really great and bringing lots of people in. Because without praying, nothing of any real spiritual significance happens. You've got to go to messy church. Oh. Anyone heard of the American evangelist D.L. Moody? Yep. D.L. Moody had a 100 list. And he'd write faithfully down. And he prayed for those people people who didn't regularly go to church. People he believed didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And over the weeks and months and years, he prayed for all these people on this list. By the time of his funeral, 96 of those people had given their life to Christ. And all God's people said, amen. What happened to the other four? Came to Christ at his funeral. Yes. 100%. Because he prayed. Faithfully he prayed. At the beginning of the chapter, the short little bit I've got there, right at the very beginning of the chapter, there's a parable about a persistent lady who prayed, who would not give up, who would not give up, who would not give up, who was persistent, We've been praying prayers about people in different far-flung parts of the world who are being persecuted. Wait till it starts getting hotter in this country where people aren't happy about Christians praying in public. It's already started to happen that we're not allowed to wear certain pieces of things around our necks in certain places, maybe when we're at work, because it offends some people. Well, let's offend people, because in the end, we don't want to see anyone separated from God in all eternity. Now, people might be thanking you one day for offending them. Not that I'm talking about bashing people over the head with the Bible. We're not saying that. We're talking about praying for people. All the people that you know do not know the Lord. People at home, people who are your relatives, people you meet through your work, people you meet through your sport or leisure, your knitting clubs or whatever you do. The time is short. Things are getting worse. Things are getting darker. How long will it be before the Lord comes back? How long will it be before people depart? The time is short. We need to be persistent. We need to pray for those people. Can you just do my little doofy-doo again, please? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have to video that before I go, aren't I? That we pray, you know, look, and if we only won one person, in one, let's say we won 10, the days are short, the time is short, how we need to do and be what God wants us to be. Now then, there was a pastor sat at the back of the church, in one of the churches. It was a tent mission, but we were inside the church because it was absolutely pouring down outside. The weather wasn't that good. And he was sat on the back row, a seasoned pastor. He'd been a pastor for 40 years. But when I told the story about D.L. Moody, the American evangelist, he just started to write down the names of people there and then on his tablet. And within 24 hours of him writing one of those names down, amazingly, one person on that list who he hadn't been in touch with for a long time was in touch with him, and they discussed spiritual matters. He prayed. He started to do it. So I'm asking you, as part of one person in 1 year, to start praying. And just see. Some of you probably already are. But make a fervent effort, a determined effort, because that's what the church, particularly now in the last days, is going to do. A fervent effort. Yes, I've made my mind up. I'm not going to be wishy-washy about it. I am going to pray for these people and pray for opportunities for those people. It normally will be those people who start talking to you. I think that's what happened in this situation with the pastor. They contacted him. And some people think, oh, I can't do all of that. Yeah, we can. We've got to be ready to share the hope that we have in Jesus. Now then, I could have read the whole of Luke chapter 18, but we'd have been here for another 2 hours longer than we're going to be here today, right now. So I've got this little sampler of the blind beggar receiving his sight. But if we go through the whole of Luke 18, we have the parable of the persistent widow. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. A guy coming to Christ. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. getting right before God. The little children and Jesus, that unless we come like small children to God, we come very sophisticated and we think we, you know, I deserve to be in heaven. I intellectually thought it through, and we've got to come as small children. It's like coming to your daddy and say, hey, sorry, Dad, I have been so wrong. And ask him for forgiveness. And he wants to forgive, but he resists the proud. He resists those people who think they can make their own way there, because we can't. Because Jesus paved the way, because we can't make it. Because we'll always mess up, we'll always foul up. We'll always sin, we'll always go on sinning. Christians aren't goody two-shoes, are they? Are they? We're not goody two-shoes, are we? And if anybody here says, hey, Pastor, I don't sin, come and see me, because I'm going to tread on your toes, and I'm going to spill my coffee over you afterwards, and I'm going to dribble my cake on you, and I'm going to see how you behave and see if you really are as good as you say you are. I won't really. We have the rich ruler who did not enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because he was stinking, filthy rich, loads of money, and didn't want to give it up. And God knew that was his issue. He loved money more than he loved God. There's nothing wrong with having money, is there? Money is the root of all evil, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil, because money builds churches, money puts new panes of glass in, money helps people, but the love of it gets in the way of our relationship with him. The rich young ruler walked away sad. And Jesus again predicted his death, that he was going to pave the way that me and you can just walk straight into the kingdom of God when we just say, yes, I believe you died. I believe you lived. I believe you went and crucified God on that tree, the cruelest death possible. And you did it for me. Isn't that amazing? And I don't even have to work it up. All I have to do is say, I've messed up. I'm really sorry I've messed up. And yet we seem to really complicate the gospel, don't we? That's it, in a nutshell. We've messed up and God says, I want to forgive you. He knows whether we're trying to pull the wool over his eyes. He knows if we're not really sincere. You know, that we say, I'm sorry, and then we go out and bop someone on the nose. We're not really sorry, are we? But if Jesus, by his Spirit, has really got hold of us, we want to follow him. We want to do. If you love me, you'll do the things that I'm asking you to do. And he's asking us to. I feel like Bruce Forsyth with Anthea Redfern here. What a great assistant. To do the things. To at least try and sing one person come to Christ. But I've tried so many times. Be persistent. Keep on. There is a field out there that is widened to harvest. People are looking and searching many, many ways. And they're going down wrong avenues, down cul-de-sacs, and coming out the wrong way. And have we got the answer? And I tell you what, Paul, the Apostle Paul would say, if someone says they've got a different answer than the answer that's here, then they're liars. That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. No other way. And yet I hear theologians, even amongst the Baptists, who like to think that there's other ways for other people. There ain't. I know that there are Muslims coming to Christ all over the world, and they're being persecuted terribly for it. Christ is revealing himself in dreams. He's sending people out on his mission field. Chairman Mao in the 1970s declared that God was dead. What a fool. Christianity's gone. Non-existent. And where's one of the biggest mission fields, if not the biggest mission field? The biggest growth of Christianity today is where? You can't fool God. You can't mock God. God's in control. Even in a crazy world that's going crazier, God is in control. And every person will stand before him for every deed. All these perpetrators will stand before a holy God to give an account. God is in control. We don't know why sometimes he allows things to happen, but he's in control. Amen. Jesus predicts his death. And then a blind beggar receives his sight. What would Jesus be doing messing around with a blind beggar? All the people were hanging on Jesus. Thank you for the dramatic version, anyway. Very helpful. People were hanging on Jesus' every word. The rabbis of the day would walk down the road and they would be teaching their disciples as they went. And all these people, there are probably hundreds, thousands maybe even around Jesus, hustling for, listening for every word he says. And then you've got this irritant at the side of the road with his cap in his hand. If it had been today, he'd have had a guitar also. Maybe. So as Jesus was on his way, actually on his way to Jerusalem, predicted his death three times to his disciples. They still didn't get it till right at the very end. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, as he usually did. And he would be begging for years. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Hey, what's going on? Now, can you imagine sitting in busy Manchester, right in the centre of Manchester with your eyes shut? How scary and daunting that must be. And all of a sudden, there's a whole crowd going on around you, bigger than normal. And you're asking, what's happening? What's going on? You're thinking, what's happening? What's going on? So he starts to ask, what's going on? What's going on? What's happening? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by. Now, he must have heard something about Jesus of Nazareth. He must have done some of his thinking because he calls him Son of David. He calls out the Greek tense. To put a little bit of Greek. You've always got to put a bit of Greek in there, haven't you? Makes you sound intelligent. A bit of Greek in there. He shouts out, Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me! We're trying to listen to Jesus. Shut up. Shh. Now, most people fit into place, wouldn't they? Oh, I'm disturbing everybody. Give me my mouth shut. Give me my mouth shut. But Jesus went on his way with the people around him. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But what did he do? Add a little bit of Greek in again. This time the Greek word's slightly different. This is like a wild animal. That's, you've told me to be quiet. You're telling me to be, have you seen the state of me? And you're telling me to be quiet? He'd already shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This time, he shrieked. I won't shriek in my loudest voice, Nigel. Jesus! Son of David! You get the idea without me shouting too loud. Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me! Persistence. He was being persistent. He knew what Jesus could do for him, and he was not having any of what the crowd was saying. He knew that Jesus cared for him more than that crowd, and Jesus could do what he wanted. Jesus, have mercy on me, Son of David. Jesus stopped. In all that crowd, Jesus stopped. In his teaching, Jesus stopped. In his busyness, Jesus stopped. And he ordered the man to be brought to him. Who is that guy? Who's the guy? Bring him over. And people will be astounded. He's a dirty, filthy beggar. He's sat on the side of the street. He's there every week. What does Jesus want to do with him? And they brought the man to him. because Jesus cares about every person. Whether it be Simon Cowell, with his multi-millions. I don't know if Simon Cowell cares about Jesus, but he'll stand before him one day. Right to the person who can't pay their bills. The person who's messed up in life, Jesus cares. If the person's belligerent and they're sticking two fingers up at him, the signs, and they don't want to know, he still cares. But it's okay. You stay there, son, until you're ready. He took the guy who went off with his father's money months before he came to realize that he needed to eat the pig's will himself. And sometimes when we're praying for people, it might take years before those people come to Christ until they're ready, until they realize, till life dealt with them in such a way, and God through life, that they think, I've been living a lie. I've been living a messed up life. I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to do that. God, I'm going to do it your way. Corrie ten Boom prayed for someone for 40 years before they came to Christ. 40 years. Others would maybe come in the same week or the same year. God cares. What do you want me to do? They brought him to him. And when he came near Jesus, Jesus asked him, like Jesus didn't know. And Jesus asks us questions. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Well, you know Jesus, don't you? Don't you know what I need? Yeah, he does. He knows everything about us. But he wants us to ask. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to come before him, pour our heart out. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to tell us about our deepest secrets. He wants us to tell about... He's seen it all. He's seen it all. Oh, I'm too sinful to go to church. I was in a pub last night, can you believe it? Watching Burnley get thrashed by Liverpool. I left before any goals were scored. And I heard someone saying, just glibly, I'm going to hell. I'm just thinking, whoa, do they even know what they're saying? I'm going to hell. Almost maybe like it was a badge. Whatever people have done, Jesus has died for it. Whatever. If we sincerely come before him and say, can't make it on my own. That's all he wants. I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way, not mine. Not like Frankie boy. I did it my way. Well, I wonder where it got him in the end, doing it his way. Jesus wants us to do it God's way, his way. And he said to the man, what do you want me to do for you? What do you think he replied? I want to see. Oh, is that what you want? You want to see. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. But you know the story. He predicted his death, and some people, even though they saw what Jesus was doing, they saw it. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They hated him. They hated him all the more. Because not everyone will be in. The road is narrow that leads to eternal life. And the road is very wide that leads to eternal destruction. Our job is to go out there, sowing the seeds, not feeling bad if we don't see people come, but sowing the seeds, being available and seeing God do amazing things through our prayers. That they come to him and say, he says to him, what do you want? Lord Jesus, I want you. In my life forever. And some will come, and some will last for a while, and some will drift away. But our job is to go out there and sow the seeds. One for one. One for one. two by two, they went into the air, one for one. Maybe one person in 1 year. That's the challenge. It's the challenge that I want to put out before you. It's the challenge God's putting out before you. And don't feel bad if you don't win one person in this year. Maybe it'll be in the year after that person comes. Maybe you'll win five. But the challenge is that we are persistent. That we say to God, John Knox, anyone heard of John Knox? Scotland. Give me Scotland or I die. Mary, Queen of Scots, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of the world. Because God was powerful. Give me Scotland or take me. And that needs to be our prayer. Give me Mills Hill. Give me wherever I am, Lord. Give me these people. Help me to be salt and light wherever I am. And we'll make mistakes. But people want to see that we're real people with a real God. That's your challenge. And all God's people said, are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready? You can say it loudly. You can say it quietly in your heart. We went through it in Sunday school. One person starts a church. Just one person. Let's say you were upset by all the things that happened in this place. And poor David was left all on his own playing guitar one morning. Poor David. Let's all say, oh. Oh. He'd asked too many questions and people weren't happy. And David's on his own. And David says, well, I remember Pastor Ashley coming and saying about that one for one. And he won one person in the next year. And two of them said, yeah, come on. They can play the drums, you play the guitar, bit on the piano rather. And the next year they have four. Then they have how many years would it take David, starting on his own, how many years if they did that would it be before they had 1 million people won for Christ? 1 million? There's a church in South Korea, has over 1 million members. Started small to start with. How many years would it take, starting with just one person, David, to win 1 million people to Christ? 20. Isn't that amazing? And I do believe 1 billion in 30. By us just doing it. And if one doesn't win one year and one wins two, have your way, Lord. Some people like to throw cold water on the whole theory. And they don't share their faith. God calls us to share our faith. And what a delight to do so. God is good all the time. I want to see people come and be stood with them in heaven. And God say, well done. Well done. Let's pray. Lord, it's been wonderful to be with these people. Wonderful. Lord, I thank you for every single one. Thank you for the invitation to be able to stand here and share. We just pray that you will so pour out your spirit, Lord, in the ups and downs of life, that this people might be obedient to you and continue, Lord, to be obedient to you in all that they're doing. Thank you for things like Messy Church and the other things that are put on in here. Lord, we thank you that they already go out into the community, Lord. I just pray that you will have your way in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.